This is Dave.
This is Braden.
This is Duncan.
This is Wendy.
This is Yanni.
Welcome to iPodcast Magic Missile, where we play games and talk geek. Broadcasting every week from the New River Valley in the beautiful mountains of Southwest Virginia, we bring you audio from some of the most exciting games, new and old. No actual wizard spells here, just actual play from great games. This is iPodcast Magic Missile.
So this game is set in...
We're playing Hillfolk tonight, by
yes,
the way.
Hillfolk.
Yes.
I have an advanced PDF since I kickstarted it. And they actually have it done in time so that theoretically I will be able to pick it up at Gen Con. Save them a few bucks on shipping and handling.
So who's the author here?
Robin Laws.
Oh, Robin Laws, okay.
He helped with Over the Edge way back in the day. He's also written Hamlet's Hit Points, and
he's done a lot of like module development and stuff, and setting development for like Wizards
or
Pathfinder.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. No, I mean I think he might have done some stuff for Wizards too. He's written a couple novels.
So I know he's got like a ton of like trad credit, but Over the Edge was really cutting edge when
yeah.
it came out. So
yeah, well, and this Hillfolk I think is pretty different from anything. And, you know,
I've
been playing all kinds of crazy shit, mostly thanks to Dave here. So,
it's all my fault.
It's true.
I've converted you all to my weird religion.
No, I was a convert
yeah,
back
already,
in the 90s,
right.
And then I couldn't get anybody else to convert, and then you happened, and it was like, oh my god, I can play these games I love so much that no one would ever play.
When did you pick up Munchausen?
2001, maybe?
Yeah, 98? So you actually have all of us beat.
I don't know.
The granddaddy of all story games.
I saw the movie, and...
there's a game of that.
Yeah.
I want to go get that.
why do I not have this? Now I have this. So I'm going to just do a little bit of reading from the book. Why this game exists. Scenes and stories can be divided into two categories, procedural and dramatic. In a procedural scene, the characters confront and overcome obstacles. They fight opponents, conduct chases, investigate mysteries, explore unfamiliar environments, and so on. When they succeed by talking to others, it is by negotiating with characters who exert no particular emotional hold over them, over practical matters. In a dramatic sense, the main characters confront internal obstacles, seeking emotional reward from people they care deeply about, for good or ill. Historically, role-playing games concentrated on procedural action, giving short shrift to dramatic interplay. They're based on adventure genres, which focus on the external over the internal. When scenes that ought to be dramatic arise in a typical role-playing game session, they tend to start strongly, but rapidly stall out. Players whose characters find themselves in conflict with one another typically dig in, refusing to relent. They do this because they don't want their character to lose, and also because they believe that by sticking to their guns, they're doing what their character would do in real life. Story momentum grinds to a halt as the exchange reaches an impasse. In real life, though, when we enter into an emotional dispute with people we care about, we sometimes relent and sometimes dig in. That's because we need emotional reward from people in our lives. Fictional dramatic scenes have long observed and replicated this pattern. Drama System observes and replicates these basic techniques. This is a game of drama that works the way fictional dramas do. So that's the game in a nutshell. There are two types of scenes. There's procedural, and there's dramatic. And dramatic is the default, but, you know, if we want to go and assault the other tribe and steal all of their sheep or kill their chieftain or whatever,
sheep,
that might be a a procedural scene rather than a dramatic one.
I really like the way he's analyzed that.
There's a nice map here. It takes place where the word Hillfolk is.
Which is the hills to the west of the Dead Sea, it looks like, although
yeah.
they're not calling it that. It's the Inner Sea.
Well, it's a landlocked ocean. So
it's Israel.
Yeah, maybe.
So we live in
the rugged southern highlands, where we're strong and self-reliant, prosper. There's an airstrip of flat land on a raised plateau, and you work the poor soil. There's enough rainfall so that... you know, sometimes you get enough food from doing that, and sometimes your hardy sheep and scrawny cattle can survive. but what you can't get from the land, you take from your neighbors.
Of course.
And I'm super, super paraphrasing here. So the east, the hills drop away to the plains where the shell grinders and the tridents live. Tridents are probably your nearest neighbors. So yeah, the desert to the east, no one lives there but crazy hermits. Let's get you guys doing some creation here. It's named for a famous extraordinary quality. What is it?
So we're naming the sea?
Yeah, why not?
It has an extraordinary quality, you know. If it could be that it's super salty, or that it's freshwater, or that it's full of giant man-eating unicorn fish. No, it can't be that, because that's too fantastical. There's no
so
magic
it could
here.
Be like the Red Sea, because there's a lot of mud silt and stuff that turns it red. Stuff like that.
Yeah, whatever you guys want. I'm turning it over to you.
Maybe it's luminescent at night or something like that.
Well, is it night?
The Sea of the Morning Star. When the sun rises in the morning, it looks as if there are two suns coming upon the horizon.
So, would you say most of that is like a desert-ish area? Land?
East.
Like, kind of?
To the east, it's all desert.
Yeah.
To the west, it's desert-y. It's like scrubby, maybe, I think. So it's enough to graze animals and maybe do a little bit of farming, but not much.
It's the sheep are hardy and the cattle are thin.
That's in the hills. The belt is a little bit lusher as it approaches the sea. It's still not like
real in there.
Super, super nice now.
Those people are wimps. They have big cities and lots of people.
So we've got glows at night and or
crystalline waters.
Morning star.
Okay, this is going to be dumb, but it looks vaguely like a manatee. Mm-hmm. Except these people would not know what a manatee is or whatever.
Well, unless there are manatees living
well,
in it.
They could.
But...
Sea of manatees.
The manatee.
The mermaid sea.
The mermaid sea.
Yeah.
It looks like a mermaid.
All right.
Is this like... This is like...
And maybe it...
Gritty, realistic Iron Age as opposed to like magical Iron Age?
Yeah. Yeah,
so
no, they're...
But we could think that there are mermaids in it.
Yeah. Magic, and, you know, maybe...
We don't know better.
Maybe...
So
maybe
we think there's mermaids there.
Even is, but it's... You know, none of you are going to be casting spells or anything like that.
No, I didn't think so.
So...
Empire of the Reef.
You share worship, language, and way of life with the other Southlanders, but that does not mean they're your friends. They raid you, you raid them. If you're united, you'd be stronger and could raid further and more effectively... to hear the elders tell it, unity comes to the Southlands when a strong chieftain forces the others to bow down to him. Northlanders talk like you do, but with a funny accent. You worship as they do and share the same holy stories, though they sometimes stray from the true rituals and get the details of the stories wrong. They claim that the holiest place is in or near their town. They would say that, of course. What is this place, and why is it holy?
It is a vast valley filled with bones. Some human, maybe mostly animal. Maybe some like exposed dinosaur skeletons or something.
I'm
really
imagining
old.
The
yeah.
elephant graveyard from Lion King.
Mm-hmm. The skull and the elephant vaguely resembles that of a human.
So to the west, land grows flatter and wetter as it slips down to the great ocean. The belt, for several generations, has been controlled by people called the Trident, or the Trident people. Farmers live there. They retreat to forts and walled villages when you come raiding. The coast is the heartland of the Trident people, home to their great cities. A city is a wondrous thing to behold. It can house up to 1,000 people. As far as hillfolk go, whenever you have to lump the northerners and the southerners together, you simply call them the people. In other languages, you're collectively known by various names, all of which mean hillfolk, or sometimes the rude ones. Although differences of detail separate you from the Northern Brothers, you follow the same religion. Who do you worship?
Do you want to go historical here?
Do you
worship one god or many?
Well, there's a pantheon.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I like pantheons.
Yeah.
There's a god for every need and a need for every god.
Yep. So we can come back to that. Are the gods of the other peoples real? Not everyone worships the same god you do.
Nah.
Sure.
Yeah,
I mean, if
but our gods are mightier.
Gods,
okay.
Then they can also have their
it's
gods.
True.
We've
probably got legends
know.
About how our gods kick their gods.
But we have proof that our gods are mind here because we kick their asses when they don't have mind their stupid walls.
So here's a follow-up question. Since they are real, is it okay for foreigners to worship them? Or would it be better if they worship your gods instead?
It's okay if they want to lose.
If they want to lose, that's fine.
Our gods are way cooler.
They want to worship weaker spirits.
Yeah. And then they'll lose in battle because they're weak.
Whose job is it to be worshipped?
Not the chieftain.
The augur.
Augur?
The augur.
What are their duties?
Ritual cleanliness and sacrifice.
Rite of passage into adulthood.
Very important. Probably some sort of circumcision ritual.
I don't like that.
That's just sort of a thing for that whole region.
Yeah.
Take a moment and jump kind of out of character here. One of the things we might want to talk about is gender. And you know, he says that generally, and I don't... Oh, yeah, here we go.
Can you speak maybe just a little bit louder? Sorry, I'll voice it up.
So, this is a little sidebar here. At this stage of cultural creation process, nearly every group will dismiss all historical precedent to create a gender egalitarian society for their main characters. Count on this to comprise the greatest point of divergence between your fanciful imagined history and the period from which we take our inspiration. Don't fight this. Even if you feel purist rumbling stirring in your breast, we may not live in a completely equal society, but we want to imagine that we do in our escapist entertainment. Few women playing the game will want to face the vicarious oppression entailed in a realistic portrayal of ancient patriarchies. If we weren't decontextualizing our history already, this is where we'll have to start.
So they're saying you should make an equal society.
Yeah.
Because I was about to say, fuck it, no.
But. You know, that's not to say we couldn't have, let's skip ahead a little bit. Your band is like an extended family. You run your household according to the eternal customs of your people. Some foreigners write down their knowledge, which is stupid. It's better to just remember. Do men and women share authority?
Well, you just told us they should.
Well, but it doesn't necessarily have to be the same. I mean, you could have...
There need to be distinct gender
roles.
The
augur could be a traditionally female
exactly.
role. And the chieftain could be a traditionally male role.
Or you could have an inside-outside dichotomy where, like, the women are inside the house, the women rule, outside the house, the men rule sort of thing. And the house of worship is the augur's domain. Is that okay with everybody?
I'm feeling very like this is Avatar.
Yeah, I mean, you can do it however you want. What did we settle on? I was listening, but I was trying to read ahead at the same time.
Politically, the men rule within the home.
Politically, that's not necessarily...
Well, true, because the augur is...
Yeah, indoors, the women are in charge. Outdoors, the men are in charge. So, you know, in battle.
Yeah.
Farm and fields is
men's domain. Exactly,
it's
men's work. Yeah, men's domain. Yeah. The home and hearth is the woman's domain.
Okay.
Women are naturally better at it. What can we say?
Well, by necessity, you know, there's not a whole lot of differentiation and then specialization in this type of society. So everyone's living at very near subsistence level. So by virtue of the fact that the women are birthing and feeding children, they have to be inside that. They have to be tied to that role.
So then are tasks divided into women's work and men's work? Or do people learn to do what they're best at?
That could be a rite of passage thing. That could be something that the augur helps with.
Where you get told what you're going to do.
I like that.
And if it's a good augur, they tell you to do something that you're already good at.
After your chest includes throwing spears at things,
pushing
baskets.
A lot of
mothering.
Societies
need to be a mom.
they have traditional men's and women's roles, but they allow people to cross over.
Though sometimes there are complex rituals involved with switching gender.
Yes.
Like,
so there's...
You might officially be a man if you're doing a man's job.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Exactly. You're
and have to take a wife.
So that, maybe
or,
that coming
know,
of age ceremony
of
is where that all gets... It all shakes out.
That
all
also
decided.
Gives more power to the
augur.
Yeah.
Okay.
She shapes the future of the tribe.
Yeah, including deciding whether or not you get to be a boy or a girl. Which is kind of awesome.
Yes.
So the bandit chief sees to the welfare of his people by distributing goods between them. All goods belong to the band, through the person of the chieftain. You own what the chieftain gives you. Once the chieftain gives you something, he can't take it back. When you die, who gets your goods?
Ooh, that's a good question.
The chieftain.
Yep.
It goes back to the chieftain to be given to someone else.
Yeah. That only makes sense.
Yeah.
How are chieftains chosen?
The auger.
Yep.
We've already established
that. Because single combat's a cop-out.
Can chieftains be taken away while the chieftain still lives? If so, how?
Can what?
Single combat.
Can chieftainship be taken away? But then the auger's not choosing, right?
Exactly.
The auger choose candidates.
Oh.
I think maybe if the auger chose a different chieftain.
Wait, who chooses the auger?
Seems like a poor plan, though.
That's a good question.
Because that
the
actually...
auger. Would the not previous... previous auger chooses the next auger.
Yep.
That's just how it works.
That makes any kind of sense at all.
Well, should like at all points in time there be a main auger and then someone in training? Same with the chieftain.
Maybe not the chieftain. Because when the chieftain dies, the auger can immediately pick a new chieftain. But the auger probably definitely has someone that they're grooming to take over her role.
That's a lot of stuff they have.
So that dovetails nicely into, does custom or political reality require the chieftain to consult with others before making important decisions? I'm guessing the answer is yes.
Yes.
You think?
I think kind of no.
It's
no.
Like,
yeah.
You should consult with the auger because they could choose a different chieftain.
I think it depends what it pertains to, right? If it's who are we going to raid, that's chieftain's decision, right? Because that's entirely outside. That's entirely, you know, right?
So you basically already answered the next question, which is the chieftain the leading authority in all matters, or is power distributed?
We have distributed power.
Yes.
Yes.
Clearly.
That's fine.
we have given a lot of it to one person.
So... while you share religion and language with the Northern Kingdom, other lands around you are populated by people whose languages, customs, and gods are very different from yours. The Shell Grinders live in fortified cities on the coast and raid from places so far away they aren't worth caring about. When they write something down, it's not with the little pictures of the Reedbeards or the Scovilles of the Brick Squares, but with something called an alphabet. The ruler of each city styles himself a king. Sometimes they work together, sometimes they don't. Just like us, but on a bigger scale. What is the name of the most famous shell grinder city, and what's it known for?
Those are the people way up north.
We don't really care about them.
I think what it's known for is lumber. Because, and again, I'm cheating a little bit here in that I have the historical knowledge that the cedars of Lebanon were famous because they're tall, straight trees that can also be used as ship masts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So,
maybe it's a port city?
It would probably be that too, in a shipbuilding city at that.
Okay.
In fact, it could even be called like cedars, could be the name of the city. Or tall cedars or something like that.
Just call it cedars, that's fine. One of your band's treasures is a shell grinder artifact. What is it?
A draw knife.
What?
A draw knife.
Oh, what's that?
It's the treasure knife for planing down planks. It's a
trade
blade with dual handles.
That you can pair to, yeah.
They're generally, at least in the era in which they were significant, a good draw knife is something you kept because it was a hard iron that never chipped, it never broke. Regardless of what knot you shoved it through, it kept going.
That's pretty awesome.
What would its practical use be for us?
Anything.
Making boards.
Yeah, I mean...
And we live in houses, presumably.
It's simply an artifact. It can be purely ceremonial. It is just a sought-after object.
Could be an execution tool.
Yeah, that is.
Scrape you to death.
Let's just say.
Carry you down to a column.
Dr. Guillotine has not yet been around, so it can't be bad.
So, initially, our precedence is going to start with Dave and just go around clockwise.
The
precedence will change randomly throughout the game.
Okay.
But for now, what we're going to do is you're going to come up with a name and you're rolling the tribe. Now, names are metonyms, recognizable words indicating status, personality, appearance, or other traits. And I'm going to hop forward to 75.
So you might be like one eye.
Yeah.
Kind of like stereotypical Indian names.
The six characters that they have in the example are Axe Handle, Blade Singer, Crow, Dark Eye, Eager, and Faded. Now, as far as role in the band, you guys are all going to be influential members of the Raiding Band. It offers protection and patronage to dispersed territory of farmers and herders, tax and steals from farmers and herders of other territories. Together, you probably compromise the leader of the band, his or her inner circle, and you're related to one another by blood or so close for good and ill that you might as well be.
So we're raiding. We're raiders.
Yes.
Is what you're saying? Okay.
Yeah. You might not all be raiders. You know, one of you could be the auger or the auger's trainee, apprentice.
Gotcha.
Or so some sample roles might include chief, elder, advisor, scout, raid commander, priest, oracle, mother, father, brother, sister, son, daughter to the chief, or to any other important figure, husband, wife, lover of the chief, or any other important figure, healer, talker. Or ambitious aspirant to the chief's position. You don't have to fill all of those roles, obviously, and you could take something other than one of those. But you should all be important people. Don't be, you know, clansman number 7, spearman number 5.
You said that you were interested in being, like, the healer type person?
No.
Well,
not anymore?
Don't sweat it. Dave has first decision.
That was
up with a name.
What, really?
That was mostly a joke earlier.
Okay.
Okay, I have to come up with something, don't I?
That's true.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Your name and occupation.
Yeah, that's it. Just two things.
They'll be one and the same.
They could be.
Well, then I guess I'll start out by doing something that will be sure to create drama.
Okay.
My name is Olive, and they call me that because I'm tasty on the outside, but hard as a rock on the inside.
Okay.
And
what's your role?
My role is I'm a raider.
Okay.
I'm technically male,
mm-hmm.
as far as the auger is concerned.
Okay.
Ooh.
So, now I want you to, like, about halfway down your character sheet,
mm-hmm.
in the center, write your name.
Okay.
And, because each of you is going to draw, when you come up with your character, you're going to do the same thing, but we're going to be drawing a relationship map.
Oh.
It's
like explicit in the rules even. That's pretty awesome.
So this is the example relationship map they have with Axe Handle in the middle.
So you put your occupation below?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, no, that's actually the player's name.
Oh, okay.
For, but the arrows you'll write, like, you know,
right.
Faded is Axe Handle's daughter, so there's an arrow pointing there.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So I don't decide my relationship to any of the other people, though, right?
Nope.
Well,
because
we
don't know who they are yet.
Right.
So now, Brayden, you need to come up with a role and a name and a relationship to Olive.
My character's name is Farm. As one of the few farmers within this group, and possibly the most prosperous, they get a lot of say when it comes to the times in which raiding's impossible for the mountains. The winter stocks are what my family is most well known for.
Mm-hmm.
We learned really early on to dig our cellars deep.
And what is your relationship to Olive again?
Well, the raiders get rowdy during the winter. They found out about the cellars. And we've become acquainted.
It's technically not allowed, but, you know.
Fair
enough. Secret lovers?
Sounds good. Alright, so Duncan, what is your name and role?
My name. Because I already said it, is One Eye.
Okay.
And no one else is doing it, so I'm going to be the chieftain.
Nice.
Alright, And what is your relationship to Olive?
Oh, do you have to do both of the people? Okay, that's awesome.
Olive is my daughter.
Yes, yes, she is. Thank you so much.
This makes it even better.
Yep. I was hoping that would happen.
And what is your relationship to Farm?
I can ruin everything. No. Farm.
I kind of, like, threw you guys into making relationships. I didn't bother to read.
Like, the rules for that?
Yeah.
So why did you do that?
When you define your relationship to another PC, you can establish a crucial fact about both characters. You make it any kind of relationship, positive or negative, so long as it's an important one. Family relationships are the easiest to think of and may prove richest in play. Close friendships also can work. By choosing a friendship, you're establishing that the relationship is strong enough to create a powerful emotional bond between the two of you. Bonds of romantic love, past or present, may be the strongest of all. As in any strong drama, your most important relationship happens to be fraught with unresolved tension. These are people your character looks to for emotional fulfillment. The struggle for this fulfillment drives your ongoing story. Defining one relationship also determines others based on what has already been decided. Players may raise objections to relationship choices of other players that turn their PCs into people they don't want to play. When this occurs, the proposing player makes alternate suggestions, negotiating until both are satisfied. Worst case scenario, I'll come in and crack the whip and assist you in finding something that everyone can be happy with.
Alright, I have a proposal. Farm, will you be my close childhood friend?
Got it.
Alright. It's weird, but not so weird.
No, I mean, you got chosen to be the chieftain.
We don't know how old you actually
are. Yeah.
Like, you may be pushing late 20s. This is...
Yeah. I mean, we don't know how this all works out.
Oh, my.
Well, and there's nothing that says...
There's nothing that says you can't... Yeah.
That you're... The friendship is still rock solid.
Or that
could have gotten rocky. I was just thinking, they're secret lovers. Olive is my daughter. Farm is my childhood.
Yeah, no, there'll be plenty of drama there. That was the correct answer, too.
Like, there's nothing saying there isn't an age difference between Farm and One Eye as well.
Yeah.
All right.
That's true.
That doesn't have to be. I mean, you're a farmer.
Yeah.
Wendy, do you know who you're going to be?
I want to be known as Mother.
Ooh.
Yes. And I am the wife to this dude, the chieftain.
Okay.
I am the mother of the tribe.
Are you the augur?
I don't know.
That'd be weird.
Yeah, I think that'd be weird.
Maybe a little bit of nepotism, but, you know, that kind of thing happened all the time, right?
I'm sure.
Now, how about I can be the healer? The doctor of the tribe. It falls hand in hand. I could be, like, the midwife and the...
Okay, so,
yeah.
So you're the...
I'm, like...
You're the healer.
Yes.
And you're the wife of One Eye.
Are you my biological mother?
Yes.
Okay. Then that solves that problem.
And how about...
That just leaves Farm.
Yeah.
How do you know Farm?
I'm from another tribe.
Ooh.
So, I did not know Farm until I married this dude.
Mm-hmm. He might.
How about I also do the animals?
So you're the veterinarian too.
I am the
just the healer,
the doctor, and the vet.
If it's sick, you bring it to mother.
I know you because we have a working relationship,
okay.
And you're best friends with my husband. So
there you go.
Whatever.
Okay.
So the next thing we need to do,
and I actually will point out, as somebody who's, you know, my wife spent 2 years in grad school delivering calves.
Uh-huh.
That just that is fraught. I mean, if you lose a cow during a calving, that's a huge, like, loss of resources for people like this. So you're critical to his survival as a herder, if that's your job.
Lovely.
So next thing we're going to do is again...
Are you, like, emceeing this?
Yes.
Okay, so
yes.
You're not actually playing
no,
character.
Oh, so we don't actually have an...
No,
that's fine.
Y'all are going to be an NPC.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, that'd be great. It's like the voice of God. Now you do this.
So, the next thing we're going to do, and we're going to do this in precedence order again, so starting with Dave and going around, is we're going to, each of you are going to name your desire. A PC's desire is the broadly stated, strong motivation driving his actions during dramatic scenes. The desire moves him to pursue an inner emotional goal, which can only be achieved by engaging with the other members of the main cast, and to a lesser degree, with the recurring characters run by the GM. Your desire may be seen as your character's weakness. It makes him vulnerable to others, placing his happiness in their hands. Because this is a dramatic story, conflict with these central characters prevents him from easily or permanently satisfying his desire. Think of the desire as an emotional reward your character seeks from others. The most powerful choices are generally the simplest. So it might be something like approval, or love, or reassurance, or power.
So is this one thing we want, or one thing we want from each of our relationships?
Just one. This is your
okay.
character's
this
desire.
This is your driving.
What do you want?
What do I want? I want One Eye to accept me as his son and recognize me as one of the Raiders.
So acceptance?
Mm-hmm.
And what about Farm?
His power. Best friend to the chieftain, most powerful man in the winter. He just wants more power.
Farm wants more power?
Mm-hmm.
It's farming's okay. A new thing for these people.
And what about One Eye? What does One Eye want?
This is great.
Freedom.
Freedom. Ooh.
He's not that complicated, and the Augur made him chief.
You just don't like your
so
responsibility?
He doesn't actually like being chief.
He was just the best choice for chief.
Does being chief mean you can't go on raids as often and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Okay. And what does Mother want?
Unity.
You want everyone to...
I want everyone to be
gather
friends.
Around the fire and sing Kumbaya.
Love you all.
Smelly hippie.
Sounds about right.
Okay.
She does spend most of her time with the cows.
I do.
So the next thing we're going to do is your dramatic polls. And I think that's still in precedence order. So your dramatic polls are driving any compelling dramatic character in any story form is an internal contradiction. The character is torn between two opposed dramatic poles. Each pole suggests a choice of identities for the character, each at war with the other. Events in the story pull the character from one pole to the next. Were your character's story to conclude, her final scenes would once and for all establish one of the identities as the dominant one. With the help of your GM, make your poles as clear and strongly opposed as you can. That makes it easier for you and other participants to create entertaining scenes involving your character. They also increase your chances of winning bennies, which is probably irrelevant since this is going to be a one-shot, most likely, granting you additional power in the narrative. These depend on the other participants' perceptions of your character and her actions. Favor the emotional over the abstract and the simple over the complicated. So, Olive, what are your polls?
It's love versus status.
Honestly, I was going to be mine. It was friendship versus status.
Alright, what about you, Farm?
It's a different kind of status, though.
Yeah.
Friendship versus power.
Yeah, know. Friendship versus power.
And One Eye?
Self versus community.
Mm, nice.
Damn you and your freedom.
Alright, and Mother?
Bringing together versus breaking. Give me two other adjectives for those.
Ordering.
Why are you breaking? I think it's more interesting.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes bad. Sometimes you have to cut out the bad thing in order to start the healing.
Ooh.
It's just saying sometimes you have to break the bone to set it.
Yeah. Sometimes you just gotta suffer something.
So maybe
healing
versus
or saving versus culling.
Yeah.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, now we're going to have a new precedence order.
Is that random shuffle?
Yeah. Ooh, Wendy, you get to go first this time. So now bring your dramatic pulls into specific focus by declaring what they lead you to seek from particular other PCs. Your character might find it easy to earn the desired emotional reward from other people around him, perhaps even other PCs, but we don't bother to note this on the character sheet because there's no drama in it. This step is about finding the most acute sources of dramatic conflict between your character and the other key ensemble members. pick somebody else and you can confer with them to work out why it's hard for you to gain the emotional reward you want.
So just one person?
Mm-hmm. We're going to do this multiple times.
Okay.
So and my emotional reward is EFT.
Well, that's what you desire.
But it could be anything that comes out of that relationship, right?
Yeah.
Like, so with him, you're his wife, so...
Right.
You may want different things from him than unity.
Right.
Maybe you don't want different things than unity.
Maybe you want to call your husband.
That look is awesome.
Oh my.
You're a stronger husband. One more dedicated to the...
Well, community. And again, this is going to be more something that the other person is not giving to you. So maybe you do want unity from the chieftain, but he's one eye is always going on about the glory days of raiding and smashing stuff and not so interested in, like, I don't know. I mean, it's up to you
well,
and whoever you pick.
Go around and figure it out.
I'm going to pick farm.
Okay.
Because as sort of the mother of this clan of people, I've noticed that your ambition is going to soon overtake and hurt my family.
Why might you withhold the emotional reward that she's trying to get from you?
I'm not going to stop what I'm doing.
I want to play along.
I want more power within this community.
That's actually almost perfectly. I withhold approval because I want to keep striving.
There you go. This power will be mine. You can't stop yet.
Yes.
Brayden.
So Brayden's next.
Now you pick someone, and what are they withholding from you?
Olive. Because of our relationship, were word to ever come out, rather iron-fast bond, one I have had shared, may stop being a thing. Currently, that is a very important part of my being in this tribe.
So what exactly am I withholding from you?
You have the knowledge of the relationship between Farm and Olive.
Yeah, but that would ruin me too if it got out, right?
You're seeking for acceptance.
Yeah, that's true.
It would ruin both of us, I suppose.
What if I'm withholding sex?
There we go.
Because maybe. Getting pregnant would ruin me.
But you are still the
but
chief's
you would
daughter.
But you would be then married to the chief's daughter at that
yes.
point.
There we go.
Okay.
Son. Chief's son.
No?
Well, no, in
not
this case
yet.
It would be chief's daughter.
Oh,
because I would have to. Because
yeah.
I'd have to accept that role, right? The augur would come right after me.
No, nope, not a raider anymore.
Not a raider anymore.
There we go.
All right.
So withholding
is that okay?
Yeah, withholding the status is fine. That's
yeah,
what
yeah,
I was
yeah.
going for. It's just
yeah.
I couldn't think of a way to make that work.
So you're just not getting any is the problem. Like we've gone. there's something there, but it's
it may have happened, but it's not happening.
It's
again.
Not happening again. Yeah.
And you can't accept.
So tell us again why you are. In your words, why you're withholding...
If I ever get pregnant, that would ruin me. It would ruin everything I ever wanted.
So, Olive, you're next.
Ah, okay.
Who's withholding from you?
Mom, my father's withholding recognition from me. He still thinks of me as his daughter. I'm not your little girl anymore.
Why are you withholding recognition?
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I want an heir.
Nice.
I mean, you know, not an heir, but I want a son.
Yeah.
I want someone to carry on my name. And right now, I've got this. It's like a son that can't carry on my name. It's the worst of both worlds.
That's great.
Okay.
I like it.
All right, so Duncan, you're...
And the answer for why I'm withholding is about the same... Oh, it's the other way around, rather. I see.
I'm sorry. One eye. What do you desire that someone won't give to you?
Running around doing all the dangerous and irresponsible things that I used to do. And Mother is withholding that from me. I call her mother too. She's not my mother, obviously.
Well, the mother is her name.
Yeah.
True, true. So why won't you let him have his fun, mother?
He has a responsibility to the tribe as the chief, and if he's off doing Lord knows what outside of our boundaries, he's not taking care of the very dangerous situation that I'm noticing here in our family, and I wish he would accept his current responsibility and not be wool gathering.
Okay.
Dreaming to be off somewhere else.
So we're going to actually keep doing this for a little bit more.
Until everyone has two people pointing at them, basically?
Yes. So, who's someone else that's withholding something from you that you desire?
You. I want to go with you. I want to say that you are withholding our bond. We used to share a very strong bond.
That's
but
exactly what I was thinking.
Since your mishaps with your father, it's... You don't want to be near the family house or whatever. You don't want to be near me because I'm near him.
I can say why I'm withholding that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. In fact, you must.
It's like you're required.
I'm withholding it because being with you, being in the house, reminds me of all the things I don't want to be.
Ah.
So as soon as I became officially a raider, as soon as the Augur picked me, I stopped talking to you.
Mm.
Or stopped talking, like... We stopped being close.
Right.
I became distant.
So you used to be girlfriends, now...
I used to be her firstborn girl, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And now...
You were my baby girl, and...
And now we're just sort of cordial.
But I still desire a relationship with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm not giving it to you.
Like, I'm fully wanting to accept him as my son, but he can't understand that. Like, he's too hung up on his situation with his father.
Yep.
Brayden, you're next.
In our younger days, one eye and I, we used to do all sorts of things in all sorts of places. And he keeps refusing my invitations.
Mm. I think the answer might be kind of obvious there.
It's because I don't trust you.
Ooh.
I see that you're out for power, and as much as I hate to say it, I don't think it's really in the best interest of the tribe. You're not the right man for the job.
Okay, and then I think Dave is next. I'm sorry, Olive?
I'm trying to think of what I would say here, and that would be... Because I can't think what you'd be withholding. Because I'm sort of screwing you right now.
Yeah.
Emotionally.
Medical care.
Yeah, I was actually thinking the same thing.
Should you get hurt, she refuses to treat you.
But,
No.
I could refuse to give you the herbs for
yeah, or like,
oh
yes.
So
the moon tea or whatever.
Yeah, I.
Oh, I no, I like that. Thank you so much. Okay, yeah. So that means that you know that I want to be having a tryst with someone.
Yeah,
she's been around the stables.
Okay, yeah. So you won't give me the
contraception brew
yep.
tea, whatever.
Yep, not even a little bit of honey. Which actually is supposedly a pretty good contraceptive. It was used in olden days.
And
although I'm not sure if that's because it kills sperm or because it encourages oral sex rather than...
Could be either way. Could be both.
It does dissolve like proteins in meat. You can use it as a tenderizer.
I know.
Anyway, one eye...
And but why are you withholding it?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's really important.
Because I realize that you really want to be my son. And if you are out...
Doing it for my own good.
Yes.
That's awesome.
And if you're off dallying with the other guys, you're not being true to yourself.
That's awesome.
You need to get yourself a wife.
Thanks, Mom. Oh, boy.
All right, so one eye.
You are... are holding the your stocks kind of over us as a, some sort of play to try to, you know, to try to get us to do what you want, and I want you to share your supplies with the rest of the folk.
I share them in measure.
Well, we know why you won't do it. It's your big jerk. A rich big jerk.
Potentially the richest.
Exactly.
1%.
I like how this forces us to make characters who are sort of complex and conflicted. We're not just after one thing.
This
because
is really
like,
fun.
It's like, you want his stuff, but that would actually give you more responsibility, but you want less responsibility.
Okay, so...
it's like, I'm doing my job.
If you have my stuff, you can just distribute it evenly and not care.
I know, it's still pretty
well,
awesome.
Well, also, just think of it like this. The Augur chose him to be the chief for a reason. It's because he would be good at it. He understands that if he... his stuff was more community-based, it would strengthen the tribe. He understands his responsibility. He just doesn't
idiot.
Want to do it.
As childhood friends, clearly he and I went through the passage around the same time.
I
could resent that the Augur chose him and not me.
In the sake of time, the only person who doesn't have two people desiring stuff from her is Mother.
Okay.
So, Olive Farm, one of you tell me something that you want.
Well, no. One eye wants freedom from her, right?
Oh, wait, no, I've just got so many
errors
here.
It's Farm who has...
I just got my second one.
We're good.
He wants my pen.
Okay. So
yeah, I have them all written down here.
The pen ultimate thing in character generation is your action types. So there are 7 broad types of actions that you can do, and you're going to designate 2 of them as strong, 2 of them as weak, and the rest are middling. Mm-hmm. These are enduring. You resist physical ill effects of all sorts. Wins with this ability allow you to overcome or at least reduce the impact of exhaustion, injury, sleep, deprivation, hunger, poisoning, thirst, heat stroke, and the like. Fighting is the second one. You can overcome others in physical combat and avoid injury in other dangerous athletic situations. Knowing. Your head buzzes with useful information. Making. You build, craft, and repair physical objects. Moving. Under difficult circumstances, you run, climb, jump, swim, and otherwise travel from place to place over distances long and short. Talking, when seeking practical advantage from negotiations and other verbal interactions, as opposed to dramatic conflicts where you seek emotional reward. Your skill at reading and playing to others' desires allows you to prevail. And finally, sneaking. You're good at skulking around, hiding items, concealing your activities, and moving in a manner that minimizes the chances of observation. So, pick 2 of those that you're good at, and 2 of those that you're bad at.
Can you run through them again? Because I'm sure I missed one.
Enduring, that's resistance to physical ill effects. Fighting, knowing, making, moving, talking, and sneaking.
All right, I missed me.
That is the right answer right there.
Wow.
Okay, 2 are good, 2 are bad.
Daughter?
I don't know.
For each of your strong action types, you're going to write a short phrase or a single word describing your specialty within that. In a situation where it fits to describe yourself as employing your distinctive talent, you gain an additional advantage.
All right, well, the 2 things I'm good at is knowing. I have a vast medical knowledge.
Okay.
Plants, herbs, the body.
So knowing healing.
I know how.
Knowing medicine, how about that?
Yes.
Okay.
The other thing is enduring, because I can use my knowledge to keep myself and my family healthy and continuing forward to the best of their abilities.
That might be a little bit too broad for. I mean, you certainly pick enduring, but you need something simpler. Like the examples they have are needs a little sleep, doesn't eat much, heals quickly, resists disease. So enduring would be a physical characteristic you have, not that you grant to others.
Oh, okay. Then I.
I mean, if you want to pick a different one, that's fine. Or if you want to just tighten up how you endure, that's fine too.
Maybe I will switch to making. That would make sense.
Okay.
What was the...
So making is you build, craft, and repair physical objects. Some of the suggested specialization are making rugs, clothing, armor, weapons, wine, ale, dried meat, bridles, bowls, tools. If you want to focus on the medicine, it could be poultices or potions or...
yes.
We'll call them potions.
Just cram potions in.
And contraceptive potions. And
yes, I'm good at making the tools to my craft.
You good at making medicine then?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just...
Sounds good.
Medicine woman.
All about that. All
right, so...
Call me Dr. Quinn.
Farm. What two things are you good at?
Making and talking.
Okay.
There was ever a man who could spin a deal his way, it's Farm. It's massive barter.
What is your making talent?
Making all manners of food and drink.
Okay.
Do we say what we're bad at, too?
We can go around and do that. There's no, like... picking a special thing you're bad at.
I know, but it's just interesting to see what you're bad at.
Yeah. Well, we'll come back to that.
Okay.
Olive, what are you good at?
I'm good at fighting with a spear.
Okay.
And I'm good at sneaking in the dark.
All right. And one eye. What are you good at?
Fighting with my shield in hand. And enduring, I'm fine on my own.
Okay. And mother, what are you bad at?
I'm bad at talking. I don't have a very good, like, bedside manner, maybe?
That's fine. I mean, you don't have to be specific on how you're, and
what else?
Talking, what else?
And sneaking.
You're not
I'm
very sneaky.
I'm not a very sneaky person.
Okay.
Nope.
What about you, Farm? What are you bad at?
He's pretty bad at sneaking. It's kind of hard to hide old farmhand. He's it's a bit like the stables and barn he lives near.
Fair enough. And what else?
And despite his stature, he's a bit nearsighted. He's not the best fighter in the world.
Okay. And Olive?
I'm bad at knowing and talking.
Yes.
Like, all right. Daughter.
And,
except for the knowing bit.
One eye.
I'm bad at making and sneaking.
Okay.
So bad at sneaking.
Except for you.
Yes,
good job.
This is not
daughter.
A very sneaky,
very sneaky
tribe.
No, clearly
no,
we're all building
very
our
very
plot
sneaky.
Around the sneaky teenage daughter.
Lightning. Yeah.
So
that's true.
Now this is the last.
Sorry.
It's okay.
There's a bug.
The last thing we're going to do is you need to come up with a sentence to describe your character. So you're going to complete the sentence. My story is of a woman who...
I am a woman who is afraid of falling apart.
Ooh. What about you, Farm?
My story is of a man who thirsts for power.
Okay, good. And Olive?
My story is of a woman who can't get what she wants.
Alright, and one
eye.
Story of a man who has one eye.
Yes.
It'd be really hilarious if you didn't have one eye.
My story is of a leader who seeks isolation.
Shuffle up and deal.
Alright.
Yeah.
So the theme of this is going to be hunger.
Is it just randomly chosen or...
It's the first one we're going to do hunger.
Okay.
Alright, so there's two types of scenes, and we're going to have an opener scene, and then an indeterminate number of development scenes, and then we'll have a closer scene, which will be the final scene of the episode. It might just come up that there's a scene that is works well as the ending, and that's it.
Yep.
Or I might throw us on a cliffhanger if it gets to a good spot, and I know we have about an hour to actually play, so we'll do with that what we can.
We'll never know how it ends.
So someone will call a scene. When you call a scene, you have to name the cast. It's who's appearing in it. It's going to be mostly main characters, but it could be some reoccurring characters that are run by me. And we start out, no one has any drama tokens, which are the rocks. If you don't want to appear in a scene that you're calling, you can spend a drama token. Be like, I want to see Mother and One Eye have it out about blah 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 or whatever, but I don't want to be in that scene. I'm going to spend a drama token. And finally, mode, which is either procedural or dramatic. Generally, we're going to do dramatic scenes, which just involve someone trying petitioning for something from one of the other players. And then you'll describe the situation, and then we pretty much go. Are allowed to introduce a complication, so you know, maybe someone has burned the granary, or your trade delegation has gone missing on the road to the Olive Clan lands. Once you get drama tokens, if you don't want to be in a scene that someone else is casting, you can spend a drama token to duck it. If you want to crash a scene, you can also spend drama tokens to do that. So initially, as I said, no one has drama tokens, including me.
Can't like crash a scene with an NPC.
Or kind of.
You can't.
At the end of the scene, we will, assuming we're doing dramatic scenes, say we have a scene where Farm tries to get Olive to sleep with him. If
I think it happen.
If that ends up and you know, maybe they don't actually doesn't get that far, but it gets to the point where it sounds like Olive might. That might be Farm's petition has been granted, in which case Olive would give Farm a drama token. But if she shot him down, then he would give her. No, wait. I've got
the
it.
The other
backwards.
Way backwards. Yeah, yeah.
Token? Huh? Now, if you don't have a drama token to give, they take one from the kitty.
Mm.
Okay.
So that's how they get into the pool.
But otherwise, it's free role play until somebody decides they relent, and then you get a token.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And is there a new theme for each time around? Is that how that works?
The theme for today is hunger.
Oh, okay. So it's whoever comes up first gets to pick, and that's it.
Yeah.
Well,
they suggest doing the first session should be hunger.
Okay.
And then after that...
That's fine. Sounds awesome.
GM takes over calling the first scene that the person who called the theme would have called. So if Brayden had picked the theme, I would get to frame the first scene.
Gotcha.
But since I'm choosing the theme, well,
then
the game
Brayden
is
the first scene.
Yeah.
All
right. So who's there? Where are we? And what's going on? And since you don't have a drama token, you have to be in the scene.
Mm-hmm. The raiding season has passed. It wasn't particularly successful for the tribe. But it's not yet the time of year that Farm would normally open his stocks to the community. So, One Eye is there to try to persuade him with wife in tow, mother in tow.
So, what are you trying to get then? So, you're the petitioner?
I am there. I am... Farm is in his home. Farm's not yet to the point where he's used to opening his supplies to the community. And, of course, One Eye being responsible in his own strange way.
You guys can also bring in reoccurring characters, NPCs. So if you want Harvard to be around, or other raiders, whatever,
I'll play Bessie.
Yeah, that's too complex a role for me.
I have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if he just came back from a raid and he has livestock with him, and you want to take care of the livestock?
It's fine by me.
I don't know. Anyway.
But yeah, it's
so,
or he could,
yeah.
The raids haven't produced enough food.
Okay.
Is how it goes.
I'm sure he kills.
And wait, yeah, and you pick everybody who's in the scene, right?
And I've,
yeah.
I've
yeah.
picked one arm right. other. Unless all right. we
no.
should have Olive. But Olive doesn't
Don't
make sense unless you want to make fun of Olive.
Don't worry about it.
You suck as a raider.
Whoa.
All of the other reindeer.
So. That's my daughter you're talking about there.
Sorry!
She's a bitch.
All right.
Farm. I wanted to talk to you about your stores and the health of your people.
So what of the health of my stores?
Your stores exist only for the people. Let's be fair about this.
What do you need to know about them?
I need to know what I need to do to get you to open them a little early this year. We haven't been very successful raiding. Well, they haven't been very successful raiding. Maybe if... I don't know.
Listen, pretty soon we're going to be entering winter. All right. And we're going to need your stores, but we're going to need them a little bit sooner. Otherwise, the nutrition levels of this tribe are going to start failing. All right? You got to think about these kids. You know, they need to have food.
It's like, who chose to have kids this close to winter?
Look, farm. If the raiders aren't well fed, raiding is going to continue to go poorly. That's the problem we face. The raiders need food to raid. They can't raid if we get no food.
It's a vicious cycle, isn't it?
It's a vicious cycle, but in the past it's worked well. And in the future it will work well if you'll cooperate.
And my cooperation would mean what? For me.
What do you want? I remember back when you were... I remember when we were friends. Once.
Tell you what. We can work out something. I've noticed in your stables a fairly healthy bull, the likes of which I've never really seen. You don't have any breeders. I do, though. I could probably do well breeding him into my stock. I'm three generations in on the current one, and he's... It's to the point where the calves are small. Some of them are stillbirds, as you surely have noticed. They don't take the warmth of the mother at all. But if I had him, I could open my stocks.
Sounds like a fair enough trade. Mother?
Yeah, what
can
he
you
says
take care
is,
of this?
What he says is true. Bringing new blood into the stocks would increase the healthiness of his herd. But I feel like you need to start being more concerned about the well-being of the whole clan. If we're not here... You're not here either.
What's one goal for opening my stocks early?
It's nothing. It's nothing at all. But if I didn't have a bull, we'd still need your stocks.
But you do have this bull, and he is a fine bull.
I don't anymore. He is a gift.
I'll gladly accept this gift.
So I think...
Power!
No, no, no. I think Duncan gets that, right?
Yeah,
he got the bowl.
He relented.
Yeah, yeah he relented
yeah.
and got... You got the food.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He got...
I just
he
assumed
wanted.
That you were...
No. So you
as
got a token.
Default.
Yeah.
If you either get what you want, or you get a token.
And you very much
I see.
Relented.
Okay.
Yeah.
You could have refused.
I thought it was the other way around.
You could have happily refused
okay.
the bowl.
Yeah.
Gone further on friendship.
So, Mother, you get to call the next scene.
Just me and Olive.
Yeah. And where are you meeting Olive?
I ran into her on her way to check out. I saw her crossing the village square and...
Hold me aside.
Hold her aside, yes.
Okay.
Hello, Mother.
Olive, it's been so long since I've seen you. I'm so glad that you did well in this raid. I'm glad. Are you hurt at all?
I'm not hurt. Except maybe my pride.
Pride? Why?
You heard it didn't go well.
I know. I heard from your father. But this stuff happens. It happened before. Happen again. We'll probably with,
You don't know how hard it is for me. I'm smaller and weaker than all the other raiders.
Listen, honey, the Augur chose you for this role for a reason. She's never gone wrong before. You gotta trust her. And trust in yourself.
I trust in myself, but no one else trusts in me. I don't want to talk about this.
Nah.
So Alice sort of turns her back to you. But she's not walking away quite yet.
Okay.
She's got her like she puts her. She's got her spear. I guess. How does she carry it? Not on her hip because it's not. It was across her back, and she kind of like. She kind of like reaches up and touches it a little bit, and then kind of crosses her arms.
But facing away.
Facing away.
Baby, no, don't walk away. We need to talk about this.
And Olive spins around. Don't call me baby.
Honey,
I'm a man now. And she stalks off.
Okay.
You always get something. It's not always what you want. Okay. Well, Olive, you've got the next opportunity to call a scene.
Olive is... has gone to one eye, and it is very late in the raiding season.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chance the weather will turn.
This might be days or weeks later, or...
Yeah, this is probably a couple of weeks later, but there hasn't been any additional raiding. And Olive desperately wants one last chance to redeem herself. Actually, I don't even have to say what the scene's about.
Sure.
So I've come into your house, one eye, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in my full raiding garb with my armor and everything onto my spear. Father, why aren't we raiding?
Raiding hasn't gone so well for us this season.
I know, and that's why we have to be raiding.
Why don't you just train for a while?
I've been training. Look, I talked to some of the other raiders. They want to go out one more time.
We can't really afford to lose more people than we already have. Maybe our prey, as it were, they're more staunchly defended than they have been in the past. Maybe you should turn that...
They're preparing for winter. They won't be prepared. They won't expect us. Let me lead the raiding party.
If there's going to be a raiding party, I'm going to lead it.
I need a chance to prove myself. Or they'll never accept me. Or you'll never accept me.
You'll have your chance to prove yourself. But not yet. You can have your raid. But I'll be at the helm.
Yes, Father. I don't know who gets that.
Neither do I.
You wanted a raid, right?
I did want a raid. I sort of added the stipulation later that I wanted to leave it.
Yeah.
I think...
All right, thank you.
No, I was going to say,
oh,
I think actually Duncan gets it.
That's fine. I don't, it's fine either way.
It's another one of these he relented in...
Yeah, I did relent at the end.
Yeah. You didn't get exactly what you wanted, but you got what you wanted.
Oh, I see. Yeah. You're right. That's what I meant. Yeah, you're out backwards. No, he already gave
so
it to
much plot.
No, he.
No,
he
oh, that was
another
plot.
Yeah,
from my scene.
Master right. of plot.
So one eye.
Master.
Yeah, I'm terrible.
Turn
at
to. It's okay.
So, if I say we're in the middle of a raid, that's a
then,
procedural scene.
Yeah,
right?
we should
oh,
check
sure,
out how that works.
Let's find out how a procedural scene works. Me
so.
And Olive and some raiders.
Okay.
Should I make up some raiders, or do you want to make up raiders, or
can they be Ungors?
Maybe what?
Go and ask.
No.
Ungors.
How about the? I'm just going to steal one of the names from before, and Beta is one of the other raiders. There's a couple. There's maybe five other people with you. Does that sound good?
Mm-hmm.
It's a small raiding party, total of 8. You've got the two of you, Beta, and 5 other guys.
Mm-hmm.
Who is this Beta?
He's an older raider.
Okay.
He probably should have retired by now, but he hasn't.
He's 3 weeks from
retirement. He's 3 weeks from retirement. That's exactly what I was thinking.
This is why I didn't want to raid so late in the season.
Beta. So, what is the practical goal here? Get more supplies?
We're going to
steal
cattle or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Because it's not like we can carry away grain.
Maybe it's sheep. You already got
some
cattle. You need more breeding stock for your sheep.
Okay.
And there's some sheep herders to the southwest that are would never
catch
expect
smaller at the fields.
So
shepherds watch their flocks by night. Who cares? Kick their asses.
Their gods are weak.
So I've already picked how difficult of a scene I'm going to make it. I'm not going to, like, normally what I do is I pick one and hide it. So these might not actually be the best tokens for this, but of course you guys don't know. Like later on, if we've had a procedural scene where I picked a hard one, you'd know I only had a moderate.
Oh, I see.
Easy.
So that for every set of 3, you get one of each.
So green or strong, yellow or middling, and red or weak.
Okay.
As far as the opposing force.
Okay.
And I may have. I've picked one of those. I'm not gonna like
tell
cheat you.
One,
I'm not
yeah.
gonna. Yeah, I'm not gonna tell you what it is. But I'm also not gonna like cheat and change it later. So we've got the scene set up. So if you spend one of your 3 tokens, you'll set it aside. You'll spend tokens to determine how many cards you draw. We're not doing player versus player, so you don't have to worry about that. You're not fighting each other. So first off. Is or second is the target card. So the target card is the 4 of diamonds. Now, if you get, you want to match the card. If I've picked green and you're facing a really difficult force, you're going to have the same value.
Mm-hmm.
If I picked middling, it has to be the same suit, but same value still wins. So a four is a guaranteed success.
Gotcha. But a diamond is also okay on the middling.
Yeah. If I only picked a red one, you only have to get a red card.
I see. Could be any
or
either.
A 4 or a diamond?
Yes.
Well,
I mean, all the diamonds are red, but...
Yes.
Okay.
And if you guys achieve that, you succeed. If you don't, you fail. You can spend one of your 3 tokens... to draw cards. If you spend a green token, you can draw 2 cards. A yellow token, you draw 1 card. A red token, you draw 1 card, after which I take a single card and held by any player and remove it from play. Now, as if you play a green one, you're going to draw 2 cards, but you won't draw them both at once. You'll draw one, and you'll describe how stuff is going well. Or not going well, depending on what you draw. If you draw, a 7 of spades, that doesn't match at all. and the card is worthless, and you know, maybe you made a bunch of noise
mm-hmm.
and the guards were alerted. But if you draw the four of hearts, then things are going pretty good. You snuck up on them, whatever. So you guys have come over a hill, and you see the fastness of the tribe to your southwest, who you've planned the sheep herders. And they've got a couple of dogs, but most of them seem to be inside, and it doesn't look like if you can avoid waking the dogs, you might be able to sneak in and take it. There's a
I'll sneak in and open the sheep pens.
Not by yourself.
Are you going to sneak in with me?
No.
She was the quietest,
yeah.
Besides me.
Sure, Beta's been around a long time. He may not be great in a fight, but he moves like a ghost. Like the two of us sneak around to the sheep pen over there, and some of you guys make a distraction elsewhere. We could probably grab a couple of the sheep and be gone. Meanwhile, you've let the rest of them on a merry chase.
That sounds good. The rest of us will set fire to some of the barricades and huts over there.
Okay. Well, why don't you start, since you're going to be doing the distraction. You have to set aside one of your three tokens.
It's secret or
no,
just
public?
So, like, how long are these spent?
Until you used all three. So the next time there's a procedural scene,
okay.
You only have the two you need to use.
Okay. Here. How about
you go for
that one?
Yellow. Okay. So then that gives you one card, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're using a skill that's an advantage for you.
Not really. I don't think I can claim either of these for setting stuff on fire.
Also, the two of you who are not there, you can spend a yellow or a green token to alter the odds in the group's favor.
But not against the group?
Yeah.
That's why they can't spend that red, I think. Because that could potentially hurt us.
Yeah.
Okay.
So go ahead and draw a card. Seven of diamonds. Okay, you're matching the suit. Unless I picked green, you're doing good. So
I should say something like I'm doing good.
Yeah, but you know, what good are you doing that's making it easy for Beta and Olive to sneak over and snag some sheep without anyone noticing?
We pull out our swords and torches and run around over by the barricades and huts, throwing things and yelling, aah! Just screaming at people and setting stuff on fire.
Okay. So, seems to attract attention. The dogs are barking and come running, but they're not like war dogs or anything. They're sheep dogs, so they're not really too scary. And most of the sheep herders were asleep, but they're resting, and they'll be up in arms soon. But in the meantime, you've got surprise on your side. Meanwhile, Olive and Beta.
Great, Beta. You move those old bones and stop making so much noise.
So what are you going to spend?
I'm going to spend a yellow, but I'm sneaky.
Okay. So,
which is a thing I do.
Draw two. So draw one. So, Beta, I'm not making that much noise. It's only because
We're so quiet that you can even tell.
You're right, so you can barely hear us over the sheep. So we sneak over and we unlatch the gate and swing it open just very gently so that it doesn't squeak the wood on wood.
The gate is entirely wooden, so it makes some noise, but
they're
know,
busy burning the town down.
Yeah, there's fire, and there's dogs barking, and the sheep are all milling around. So even as you open the gate, several of them bolt out of the pen.
Quick, rub them.
And you guys are able to grab a couple. Go ahead and pull your...
Damn. Did you shuffle these?
I don't think those
have you been playing solitaire?
We
got a 4 diamonds followed by a 7, 6, and 5 of diamonds.
I did shuffle them. but
these cards are not sufficiently randomized.
Apparently. Well, either that is too much.
I guess you can shuffle them back into order. Alright, well then.
So, yeah, you guys rope a couple of sheep.
Some sheep
and
we run off into the hills.
Yeah.
Because we're hill folk and that's what we do. That's how we roll. Or run, really. There's no rolling.
All right, well,
we have a
wheel. That's success. I chose a yellow, so you only had to match the suit. If I had chosen green, you would have needed a 4, and you would have failed.
So does that mean that you have a red and a green left for
that's
future
true.
Procedural scenes?
As,
okay.
As do we.
Yeah.
So what do we get from that scene, then?
You've got some sheep.
Okay, so just narrative sheep. Congratulations.
As many sheep as you could wrangle.
So we're back up to
farm.
If farm.
He's trying to see if he can call Sam.
I don't think I do.
I actually can't think of what scene they call here.
You could call a scene while the raiding party's away.
Alright, so it's farm with the Augur looking for advice because he has a few cows that are ready for birth, but the past few have been either sickly or dead upon birth. He needs the Augur's advice on how to make sure this goes significantly better.
Farm. How does it go?
Fine, I suppose. My stocks are open early this year. No doubt, because you picked the wrong raiders.
I don't pick the raiders, did you? Chieftain picks the raiders, you know this.
You pick them,
Jason? He sometimes asks me for advice. Sometimes he does not.
Clearly, he should ask well.
That's true.
I'm gonna put
this
down.
Get hungry.
It's making noise.
Are you here to ask me advice?
I've had some issues with my livestock.
What have you brought me?
I'm
inserting here that it is traditional to bribe the augur when you seek advice, in case that wasn't clear.
I've brought you a flask of wine. It's among the last I have from 3 years ago, but
that was a really successful raid. I'm surprised that anybody has any of this left. I'm very flattered. What can I... You said you're having a problem with your cows?
The calves, they're born weak, they're born dead, they're born cold. It's... No matter what we do, mother and I together, we can't come up with an answer.
Well?
I've got 3 sows who are already on their sides, waiting for birth. It's...
But you are not confident in the new cow or the new bull you have?
These aren't his.
Oh.
This is the old master's son.
Well, I can cast the bones and see what they foretell. Maybe they will give us insight. And she has, I guess, like a bowl with some bones of various different stripes, and
she throws him on like a mat in her tent. Or I guess you guys have tents, or do you have more fancier dwellings? Maybe she lives in a tent anyway. Even if you guys still have fancier
abodes. That's not in folk, I would assume we'd have something more hardy than a tent.
I'm thinking more like yurts, or not quite like brick houses,
yeah.
But
earthwork sort of deals.
Maybe she's a traditionalist. I don't see any new life from the cows farm. I think that bull is your only bet. The ones you have now are not going to come. Maybe
I suppose this one will be making cheese then.
Maybe mother could hasten the births.
Save me the trouble of feeding a pregnant sow.
But importance aren't good. You gonna crash the scene?
Can I do that in the middle of the scene?
Yeah, absolutely. You guys find a drama token. And I'm not sure if that goes to me or the bank or who.
Well,
go ahead and do your crashing.
One eye.
Ah, he gets it.
One eye
by scene.
Barges through the skins into the tent with a lamb over each shoulder and sets them down.
One eye.
This auger, this lamb is for you. Pulls out a dagger, slits the throat. Farm.
She looks on approvingly.
Farm, this lamb. This lamb is for you. For breeding.
The sheep are fun.
The sheep are more.
This is true. Take the sheep.
I hope I wasn't interrupting anything.
No, nothing at all. Walks out.
Okay.
Automatic.
So, I don't think you got what you wanted, which was...
Oh, no. He got a sheep. He needed answers for the cows.
Yeah. So,
way to ruin the party, Duncan.
Sorry, I had that drama token burning a hole in the sheet of paper it was sitting on.
Yeah. All right. Next player's turn.
Mother.
So
your turn.
Should we just have one more closing scene? It's
yeah.
Just 'cause it's almost 9.
Maybe. That clock is a little fast.
Right.
So
fair
we've
enough.
Got one, maybe two more scenes.
Okay.
I might interject here with something exciting at some point. But I am keep. I've actually got the time here, so
okay.
I'm keeping an eye on it.
Cool.
I'm going to have my next scene with.
Just me.
So, Olive and One Eye, where are you?
No, Olive, Mother.
Mother and One Eye.
We're in our hut. And we're talking over dinner.
It's veal.
Some fine mutton.
So, honey, I'm very happy that your last raid was very successful.
Well, I don't want to sound self-involved, but I think it's because I was finally able to just get out there and do it myself. You know, if you want something done right, You've just got to do it yourself. I should be out in the field more often.
I agree with you in some part, but you do realize that you're kind of... I worry for your health, sweetie. You had a... Remember your storm last month? When you got dizzy and could not remember things for a minute. You worried me. I'm worried for your health. You really need to stay here and not go out into the field. And you need to take care of here, the tribe.
That's exactly what I was doing out in the field.
But you have a fine son. He's got a head on his shoulders. He can.
I have no son.
You have to accept the augur's decision.
I have to accept nothing. I am the chieftain.
That is.
I have a daughter in furs with a spear. Sure, she's a fine warrior, but.
I heard the story. She did her portion of the raid, like, successfully. It went wonderfully.
She did. But she'll never bear me grandchildren.
You know that there are plenty of parents, or plenty of men and women, who go out on these raids and die and leave their children behind. There are plenty of orphans in this village who need caring families, and eventually one day he'll marry a fine wife and they will need a child.
Sure. However, I suppose what I'm trying to say is he is not going to be running any of the raids anytime soon. He is still a girl. Perhaps a woman. At most.
What do you mean by that? A woman at most?
What?
I take care of half of this village. I take care of the health of the entire village. I do more for this village than I feel like I should do. I feel like you need to be there to accept a lot
it
of the responsibility
more than you should do.
Then I...
That's the augur's responsibility. Perhaps she would hold more sway in this village were you to allow her to do her job.
Her job is spiritual. Mine is physical. Alright.
As is mine.
Exactly. And you're not doing your portion of the physical.
Exactly.
No,
exactly,
you're too busy.
I agree.
Being out in the field to take care of what's here at home. The Red Brick family is currently very ill, alright? They need to know that they have a strong chief here in order to get the energy to get through this illness right now.
I think I'm going to call the scene here.
Oh, I was about to.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I don't know where I'm going with this.
I storm out to kill something.
Okay.
Well, I was going to give you
grab
an excuse
my axe
and
shield
make
and storm
a cliffhanger, and there are shouts as if warning that someone's approaching and or attacking kind of shouts. But then, who knows who it is? Maybe it's the sheep herders coming for revenge. Maybe it's someone else who've heard that you've had a couple of successful raids in a row and are going to take some of the excess that you've taken. We may never
know.
We've
had plural successful raids.
You had one, but they heard my phone. And that is most of the drama system. I think we spend a lot of time on character generation.
But I really enjoyed the character.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed
that.
I felt like the character generation was really good.
Yeah.
The drama system was neat.
I think it's one of those things where if you really just want to do like a fiasco style, go around and around and around and have drama, this is a really great game.
So one of the cool things with it, I'd like to actually do a sort of like a mini campaign, maybe 3 to 5 sessions, so that we can actually kind of get good with it. But there are a ton of settings. Actually, I'm just
pulling drama points.
So all at the end of the game, normally like you would take your drama
Patrick
points
Stewart the same time
you had left over, and you could theoretically get bennies with them, which might
bennies,
which are sort of it's sort of like empire points and resource points and.
Oh.
The campaigns, and that
okay.
some of them persist and some of them don't. The bennies persist.
Oh, okay.
They also include in this a crap ton of additional settings. Jason Morningstar's got one, Midway Baker's got one.
McGay.
Yeah. Sorry.
We keep rendering her name incorrectly.
And now I've...
Or just Meg.
So wait, like, as in not Iron Age?
Yeah, so Jason Morningstar is Hollywoodland. It's a it's sort of a 1920s gangstery type thing, I think.
Because really, there's that much to
right.
The system isn't specific to...
Yeah, yeah. No,
I mean, the skill sets are different. It's not sneaking and running and... Well, maybe it is.
These play sets, if you will, were stretch goals from the Kickstarter.
Mm.
Meg
Baker's
yes.
was a is a
so.
Fairy court thing. There's a pirates one.
So there's a bunch of like extra optional rules. I've seen Battle of Wits and Henchmen and things like that.
Each setting has its own little hacks to the system. And there's actually a section on hacking the system.
Gotcha.
If you want to make up your own setting, you can do that. I definitely would like to explore a few of these. There was a Lovecraftian one that sounded cool, and this one here, I'm not really huge into Appalachian type stuff, but this is the head of the Moonshining family has gotten caught by the law. And the rest of the family is trying to keep things together.
Here's the thing: I would not have chosen to play an Iron Age game set in the in the Middle East.
Yeah,
but this was cool.
Yeah,
I think like one of the neat things is when you can, the game wants you to explore something that you wouldn't have otherwise. Like, what was it? Morningstar's new game, Carolina Deathcrawl, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with it. There's a Watership Down one.
Yeah. Have you seen the Watership Down Apocalypse World pack?
The Lapins and Layers?
Yes.
Is that it? I
was freaking awesome.
I haven't actually read through it, but I saw it.
Yeah. But anyways, a well-researched historical period is often a really cool setting for a game.
One of the reasons that he chose as the base setting of the Iron Age is so that you don't have a lot of preconceptions. If we go in and are playing a Cthulhu's
unless you
Cthulhu
went to Hebrew
Mythos game, we probably
so
have
that.
Well, maybe, but
I could have entirely reconstructed the setting from stuff I remember from being in third grade.
Probably, maybe.
But the average person has no idea.
Sure, sure. But if we do the Sopranos game.
Yeah.
Everyone
is a very very heavily
prepared, and they're going to focus on that, not on learning the system.
Exactly.
So having sort of a tabula rasa for
the Shine running one was another example that everyone's really familiar with.
Well, but I don't think people know a lot of the details about how that actually works. They just know that people brew moonshine and try to keep it from the cops and sell it illegally.
But even still, the point isn't going to be to have lots of procedural scenes where you're driving the General Lee and getting away from
the
cops.
No, it's a family drama.
Right.
In a lot of communities you could tell when they were making stills because the cost of copper pipe would skyrocket in the area.
Of the things I kind of found a little hard, especially being someone who doesn't
do this a lot?
it's like the second story game I've done.
Sure.
Is keeping a goal in mind during our like confrontations or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like being put on the spot and being told, hey, create drama or do something. I'm just like, I don't know what I'm working towards. Well,
so and
that,
this is,
I found
this
that
is
difficult.
Probably too late.
Yeah.
To give this advice.
Point and play with us again.
But yeah, we might do it again. We might. We
maybe
might
not this game, but something else. Yeah. Or this game.
Yeah, if we do this game again, if you enjoyed it, then I certainly intend on running more of this. I would like to play in it some too once I have the book and be like, here's my dead tree copy.
Seems like
you learn how to do this.
Takes
very little. When you go into the scene, think about what you want. Frame the scene as a means of trying to get that. You don't necessarily have to tell the rest of us, but even you're like, you know, I want to spend some quality time with my daughter.
Sounds
and so then you go and you talk to Olive.
I thought that scene worked pretty well, though.
Yeah, that one went fine.
Oh, yeah.
It was the scene with Duncan. I was just like, I was like, I kind of want him to, like, I guess I wanted him to admit that, you know, he's just off wool gathering or
take more personal responsibility. If you want to know a good, if you want to learn, if you want to see an example of people that know about writing and about scene setting scenes, I always tell people go on Geek and Sundry, which I mean it's Felicia Day's media empire network thing.
Mm-hmm.
Will Wheaton has a show called Tabletop, and then normally they sit around and play board games and then they talk about it, and he plays with like famous people as actor friends or director friends or writer friends, but they played Fiasco. There's a character creation plus two session Fiasco
mm-hmm.
that they have, and they sit around and talk about framing scenes because like it's Will Wheaton, who's an actor, another actress, and like two writers, like two
mm-hmm.
screenplay writers.
So no, they know what
they know what they're talking about.
Yeah,
and they sit around and they actually discuss like what makes a good scene, and like, and then they do it. They demonstrate it. And I thought that, honestly, that was, for me, like, the best, having anyone explain to me, because then they play Fiasco, which is entirely just framing scenes, and, like, executing them and keeping things punchy.
See, maybe I'm just, like, very new to this, and I did not realize that that's something I should have kept in
yeah,
mind.
But the one thing they said was, whenever you're going into a scene, the key is, there's somebody who wants something in that scene. What do they want? Why can't they get it? What are they going to do about it? Those are the three things you have to know going into the scene. After that, it works itself out. As long as everyone else sort of does the improv thing of yes-anding and playing along, right? Not necessarily agreeing, but, like, fighting back in a way where it's obvious one person's going to win or the other's going to win, right? So, but I would recommend to anybody, and since we're recording this, I'm going to say this, go watch... It's all of an hour and 15 minutes total of the three, the two and a half episodes or whatever.
Yeah.
Go watch it. It is definitely,
it's
like,
edifying and entertaining.
Exactly. Because they're really good.
Yeah. What was it, the Frisco 78 or something?
Yeah,
like
they were all like a nightclub and they were fighting over the ownership and this, that, and the other thing, and... you'll see. It's actually a pretty compelling story. Like, you can imagine being made into a movie.
Yeah, I would totally watch that.
Yeah.
This podcast is fully copyrighted by its hosts. Visit us at podcastmagicmissile.com. I Podcast Magic Missile, attacking the darkness since 2012.